Alrighty, hour number four of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, host of CBS Sports Radio. Hickey's got some questions for me. This is courtesy of CBS, I'm pretty sure, this list. So Hickey's got 10 questions on 10 predictions that CBS is making for this offseason, and I'll tell you if I think they're realistic or unrealistic. Ooh, a little NFL music, okay.
Yes, these are predictions that are bold predictions from CBS. So going out on a limb here, we'll discuss, are they actually realistically going to happen or not? Number one.
And I will also decipher if these predictions are actually bold or not.
Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow both will reset the quarterback market this offseason.
How is that a bold prediction?
I guess that would mean surpassing... I mean, resetting would be breaking what? Either Patrick Mahomes' $450 million record
or
Aaron Rodgers'... Well, no, I mean, you can go, I guess, different ways. Guaranteed money, you could do total value, you could do average annual value. Aaron Rodgers right now is at 60 mil. So there's different ways you can say to reset the market in different aspects. So I guess in one of the three, either the most guaranteed money, which would be over, what, 230 with Deshaun Watson, over 450, which would be Mahomes, or over $60 million a year, which would be Aaron Rodgers. He's saying both will reset the market in one aspect.
I think you're making this too complicated in terms of why they think this is a bold prediction. Maybe they just don't think both quarterbacks, even though they will eventually get paid by their team, will get the deal done this offseason, because both of these players, they were in the same draft class. You still have another year left on the deal and then a fifth-year option. So maybe there's just doubt, I guess, whoever wrote this article, that they'll both get the deal done this offseason. But I think this is a slam dunk. If Herbert and Burrow are getting paid this offseason, that means both are absolutely resetting the QB market. So I would think that's realistic. Why wait at this point? Like, the only reason you would wait is if the player wants to wait. If you're the Bengals, if you're the Chargers, you know you have to pay Burrow. You know you have to pay Herbert. Burrow has showed you that he's a great regular season quarterback and then a great postseason quarterback. Herbert hasn't had that moment yet in the postseason, but he's been sensational the last 2-3 years. There's no, get that deal done now if you're the team, because a year from now, the price could even go higher than what it's going to be this offseason.
I agree. I am with you 100%. All right, number two. We know roughing the passer has been, let's say, frustrating this year with how referees have called it, to say the least. Maybe a solution, and here's a bold prediction, is that the NFL will make this offseason roughing the passer reviewable.
I don't think it's realistic. I think it's unrealistic, and here's why. Even if they do pass this, how effective is it going to actually be? Or is it just doing something for the sake of doing something? Like, remember in the aftermath of the Saints-Rams NFC title game, then pass interference was reviewable. Barely any of the calls got changed. Even when it was obvious, you're watching, like, how isn't pass interference, or how is pass interference called? It clearly isn't. They would make it stand on the field. I don't think there's a point to do that after seeing the aftermath of how pass interference did go down. So even though I would like to have roughing the passer reviewable, because at least it's a potential to correct yourself, I don't think the NFL is really going to correct themselves that much, because they don't want to throw the officials under the bus. So I would say that that's unrealistic of that happening this offseason.
When you talk about the draft, obviously the four quarterbacks we've talked about going in the first round, Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and Will Levis. Anthony Richardson specifically, and Chris Trapasso on the show last week, who had the Colts trading up to number one in order to draft Anthony Richardson. So a lot of people have Richardson at least in the top 10 or going high in the first round. Is it realistic or unrealistic to say that come draft night, in late April, Anthony Richardson will fall late into the first round?
Do you have that Chris Trapasso audio, by the way? If you could locate it real quickly, I just want to play that back. It's about a minute and a half. Go ahead. This is Chris Trapasso with us last week. I am not a fan of the Indianapolis Colts, and my producer, Hot Take Hickey, is a mega Colts fan, and all he wants is his team to move up into the number one spot and make sure that they get Bryce Young. So, Chris, when you had them moving into the number one spot and drafting Anthony Richardson, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, this is all about the new head coach, Shane Steichen, who certainly did a great job fostering the development of Jalen Hurts. And just from his time in Philadelphia, the thought process that he's going to probably want a quarterback that is at least a little bit like Jalen Hurts. I mean, Anthony Richardson had 65 designed runs this past season at Florida, for almost 7.5 yards per carry. Bryce Young had 4 designed runs at Alabama. Now, this is not the only reason why I think Anthony Richardson could be in the running. I just think at 6'4" and 232 pounds, he is going to blow the roof off Lucas Oil Stadium at the Combine, and there's just going to be such a stark difference between Anthony Richardson as a physical and athletic specimen and Bryce Young. Now, certainly Bryce Young is a big-time prospect. He is poised beyond his years, but if you're moving up for a quarterback in the draft, like I have the Colts doing in this mock, and a lot of people expect the Colts to move up into the top 3, I think you have to do it for a quarterback that has big-time arm talent or big-time athleticism, and Anthony Richardson has both of those in spades, and certainly he's more impressive in those key areas of today's franchise quarterback than Bryce Young.
Now, I don't think there's a chance that Anthony Richardson goes in front of Bryce Young in the draft, but Hickey, entertain me for a second, because you are saying pay the price, go get Bryce, or whatever your slogan is, and you want the Colts to do whatever it could take to go get Bryce Young. If on draft night you get the alert the Colts have traded up from 4 to the number 1 overall pick, you probably start to lose your mind because you think, okay, they're going to make that move to get Bryce Young. And then if Goodell walks to the podium and goes, with the first pick in the draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida. Your reaction. And remember, do not curse on the radio because we are monitored by the FCC.
Shock and frustration. Shock and frustration. I'd root for him. I don't think it'd be the right pick whatsoever. I would have easily 2 other quarterbacks ahead of Anthony Richardson. I think it's a big-time project, a big-time risk. I would not like it.
You would lose your layup. You would lose your mind.
So, yeah, Bryce Young, pay the price. Let's go.
How quickly do you think you would then start to say, oh, no, I give the benefit of the doubt to Chris Ballard because you love to make him out to be this, like, wonderful general manager in this league. How quickly do you think it would take for you to change your tune and then start supporting Richardson?
Well, I mean, I would obviously root for him. So I'm not rooting against him. So it's not like, you know, even though I'd be upset
but
with the
you
pick,
would hate
I'm not going to be hating Richardson to the point where I'm saying, oh, this guy sucks. Like,
done. 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, you said that if it's anyone outside of Bryce Young, you would be miserable and it would be the wrong move.
I totally agree. But at the same time, I'm not going to root against him. Why'd I do that?
Oh,
I can't do that.
You're also with the same guy two, 3 weeks ago that you said you would root against the Colts if they hired Jeff Saturday as their head football coach.
That is absolutely true. That is without a doubt.
So what's the difference?
That is a failed guy. We've seen other projects like Josh Allen work out.
But what's the difference?
Because we've seen other guys work out. I mean, Anthony Richardson, I don't think is going to be a guy that could put it all together. But if he does, he'd be pretty damn good. I want to root for my team's success. I know Jeff Saturday can't coach. He's terrible. We saw it too much.
As much as I'm envisioning this world of you just being miserable on draft night and the Colts trading up and then just breaking your heart and not taking Bryce Young, I know you will quickly spin it into a positive. And we already see you starting to spin this into a positive already, even though you'd be miserable.
Well, no, I'd be upset, but I can still root for his success. It's 2 different things.
Yeah, but you would be appalled by that decision.
Absolutely.
Then you would quickly spin it like Wentz. Oh, it's actually a good move, and you would talk about it that way.
I would not say it's a good move. I'd be upset, but I'd root for hopefully it working out and being Josh Allen 2.0.
Folks, just give it time.
But again, don't have to worry about it. Bryce Young,
you know what you're
let's
like?
Let's go. Give me the number 9 jersey. I am ready.
You know what
I
you're
am
like?
So ready.
You're the dude that dates the toxic girl, and all your buddies say, Stop. You're better than this. And you keep on just giving the Colts the benefit of the doubt. That's what all they can make dumb move after dumb decision. You always will give them the benefit of the doubt. All right. The question was, Anthony Richardson falls late in the first round of the draft. What do you consider late? 27, 28? Like in that range?
In the 20s. Past 20.
Mac Jones, when you had 5 quarterbacks go, he was the last one. He went 15th. I think you'll definitely get 3 in the top 10, maybe 4. I actually think you're going to get 4 in the top 20. So I think that's unrealistic that Anthony Richardson falls late in the first round. And I don't like it this way in terms of how Chris said he's going to blow the roof off the combine. Bryce Young should be the number 1 overall pick if you watch college football this year. And if he's not, then the next quarterback should be C.J. Stroud. If it's just based off what he did at the combine, let's all remember what Zach Wilson did at his pro day and what happened there. He did not show me enough good tape this year. Can he be good, Anthony Richardson? Sure, he could be good. I love what he showed me at the Utah game. But I don't see how people are saying that he should be the first pick in the draft, as much as we do like Chris Trapasso.
All right, number four, Aaron Rodgers still believed to be on his darkness retreat, kind of contemplate what his future is going to be. Will he want to stay in Green Bay? Will he want to retire, go somewhere else?
Do you think he's actually thinking about this stuff during this darkness retreat?
No.
I don't.
I think he's thinking about himself.
Yeah.
And whatever helps clear his mind.
Tripping on something, too, probably.
Probably. All right, so realistic or unrealistic, Aaron Rodgers, in fact, returns to the Packers for the third year in a row and is a Packer in 2023.
Unrealistic. The last 2 years, they didn't buy into the hype. I thought he'd be back on the Packers. He's gone. There's too much hate on both sides there, or disdain now on both sides. He's getting traded.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, as we know, are at a standstill contract-wise. The Ravens do have the window starting today to franchise tag their potential franchise quarterback, we'll say.
Well, he is a franchise quarterback.
Just maybe not in Baltimore, that is for sure. So realistic or unrealistic, Lamar Jackson this offseason will demand a trade.
I think that's realistic, but I don't know if he's going to get dealt this year. You could demand a trade, doesn't mean you're actually going to get traded. So I wonder if he's going to have to wait another year, but if they don't get a deal done, why wouldn't he demand a trade?
Odell Beckham Jr. wanted to get signed late last year, did not come to fruition. Now he's a free agent going to 2023, over a year removed from his torn ACL. Realistic or unrealistic, Odell Beckham Jr. signs with the New York Giants.
I actually am going to go that this is realistic. I'm not saying it's a lock to happen, but the Giants need a lot of help at that wide receiver position. And you wonder still how many teams are interested in Odell Beckham. So the Cowboys could definitely be in play. We know Jerry Jones like kind of wants to get that deal done. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that he goes back to the Giants.
All righty. Question number seven.
One caveat. Saquon Barkley has to be there. If Saquon Barkley goes, then I don't think it's realistic.
Okay. All right. Saquon or no OBJ possibly in big or with Big Blue. All right. In that division, the Commanders, as we know, with Daniel Snyder still owning the team.
Boo!
Realistic or unrealistic, this offseason, Daniel Snyder sells the Commanders to the trio of Jeff Bezos, Jay-Z, and Matthew McConaughey.
I would say that is realistic. I'm going realistic on that one, and that would be a fun ownership group. You sprinkle a Jay-Z and Matthew McConaughey? I'm down for that. You also get a lot of Texas players then start getting drafted by the Washington Commanders.
You know who their quarterback will be next year?
Colt McCoy?
Sam Ehlinger.
Oh.
That too, eh? Colt McCoy can be a good backup. Oh, boy. That would be Texas North, that is for sure.
Is Sam Ehlinger still in the Colts?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. The Commanders.
Drafted 2 years ago.
Here comes the Colts propaganda. The Commanders are going to overpay for Sam Ehlinger. They'll do it twice. It always goes back to that stinking football team of yours.
Right, fourth round pick?
Yeah.
Second round pick?
Take a hike.
First round pick?
Take a hike,
Who
Buster.
Says no? Well, McConaughey might say, you know, we'll do it for a first round. No, let's do it.
Yeah. You're delusional. Sarcastic and delusional.
Can't even joke around here.
No, because you think you're joking, but you're actually serious when you talk about your team like that.
No, we are not being serious about getting a first-round pick back from the... Well, I can't even call him great. We'll leave Sam Ehlinger on his own here. Just
you sound like David Zeigler right now. Verbal diarrhea.
A Tuesday night, that is for sure. All right, number eight. We know Jerry Jones loves his running backs. He loves Ezekiel Elliott, and he also loves Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard, free agent this offseason. Realistic or unrealistic, Tony Pollard leaves the Cowboys and signs somewhere else.
Why wouldn't they slap him with the franchise tag?
They could.
Isn't that has to happen the next 7 days, until March 7th. Slap him with the franchise tag, worst case. I'm not letting him leave. So I would hit the franchise tag. I think that's unrealistic.
All righty, number nine. Derek Carr is right now a free agent. He can sign anywhere he wants as soon as today if he wanted to. He had a, quote, very good meeting with the Jets over this past weekend.
And now they're talking Super Bowl.
They are, and they've talked about him being maybe a first ballot Hall of Famer. Not just
Give
a Hall
me a
Famer,
break.
First ballot Hall
what
of Famer
a joke.
If he goes to the Jets.
Yeah.
So, realistic.
Hey, by the way, after the show tonight, I'm going on a date with Beyonce, just letting you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Jay-Z's busy at those Commanders owners meetings.
Yeah, yeah. You know, nice. I'm going on a date with Beyonce, and then after I go on a date with Beyonce, I'm going on a date with Margot Robbie. And then after Margot Robbie, I'm going on a date with Carmen Electra. All right? That's all in one night.
Good for Carmen Electra back in the mix here.
Yeah. I love Carmen Electra growing up as a kid. Her and Beyonce. Two childhood crushes.
So you got a busy night.
Busy wow. night.
Better get going here.
That's actually more believable than Derek Carr becoming a Hall of Fame quarterback on the first ballot.
With the Jets.
And folks.
With the Jets nonetheless.
Let me break the news to you. There's a 0% chance Beyonce, Carmen Electra, or Margot Robbie would ever go on a date with me.
So with all that said, realistic or unrealistic?
I'm going to get blocked on Twitter by David Carr now.
Oh, you are. And his other brother. Especially. Derek Carr will sign this offseason with the Jets.
I think it's realistic. And if I'm Carr, I'm trying to force the hand to the Jets and say, I'm not waiting. I'll go sign with the Saints or someone else. Let's get this deal done. And let's see if then they're going to want to wait for Rodgers or if they'll take care of me.
I mean, Derek Carr now has leverage. You can say, how many teams have ever made a future Hall of Famer wait? Answer, none.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
Jets did it to themselves.
Give me a break.
They did it to themselves. All right, 10th
and now you
final
know why
question.
This organization got Zach Wilson. Because they fall in love with people that quickly.
That's true. One meeting or one weekend together.
Jeez.
Now they're ready to propose. Beats 90 Day Fiance, that is for sure. All right, number 10. Realistic or unrealistic? Jimmy G, the man, the forgotten man of the big four quarterbacks that could be available this offseason, he will sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
How many years around?
A contract. I don't know. 2 years, 3 years? Nothing long term.
Okay, if that's the case, then I think that's realistic. If it's 4 years or more, I think the Buccaneers would be out of their mind because this guy's hurt like every other year. So if it's a three-year deal for a bridge quarterback to still keep this roster intact, okay, I can live with that. Anything more than 3 years, you're just asking for trouble because Jimmy G is okay. He's nothing special. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll do the QB carousel. Next up, the Washington Commanders.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Step right up here. Don't be shy.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Washington Commanders.
All right, let's welcome in a former NFL player. Does a great job now. Middays on 106.7 The Fan in our nation's capital. And that, of course, is Brian Mitchell. Brian, appreciate you doing this. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I want to take you back to last week when we found out that Eric Bieniemy is going to be the new offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. Just how did you process that in the entire conversation of people thinking Bieniemy needed to leave the Chiefs and go and make a lateral move in order to become a head coach one day?
Well, I don't understand why he had to do that. I think he's shown he's as good as anybody out there who's gotten the job. But, you know, for us to get him here, it's exciting. Everybody seems to be happy, and I think it will probably be the most exciting move you're going to see here with the Commanders in the offseason. Eric has been on this team for the last 5 years or so as an offensive coordinator, and you look at the success they've had. Now, we know that it's not the same type of talent that they have right there in Kansas City, but hopefully with those receivers and running backs they have, they can find a quarterback who can come in and at least hold his own to try to make things happen.
Why do you think he has not become a head coach in this league yet?
I don't have a clue. You know, we hear different things every year, and it just seems like some people are, you know, the goalposts keep getting moved. I think he's done well enough. He's shown well enough to do it. You know, some people use the excuse about he doesn't interview well and things like that. So I think that's just fine. They find ways to make excuses as to why. But the real reason, I don't think anybody knows.
And it is bizarre to me how quickly he gets the job with the Commanders, but he's been on, 15 or 16 interviews as a head coach? I know it's a different position, but he hasn't been able to land that gig as a head coach yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange, you know, and I think I heard Travis Kelce make the comment that, you know, last year he kept seeing all these people get jobs that they had never heard of, you know, and I think that's the thing about it. You see him, you know his name, you know what he's doing, but still, every time it came up for a job, he never ended up with one. The real reason, nobody really knows. You know, I'm waiting to really hear somebody come out and enlighten us and let us know, because I think we've seen people get jobs and lose them, and then those guys got jobs again, and you just can't understand why a guy of his caliber can't get it.
Do you think race plays a factor in here?
I think it does. You know, I played in the NFL 14 years, and You know, I know a lot of people like to act like it doesn't, but we all know it does. You know, and I think that's the main thing where it's kind of hard to tell someone who to hire and spend money, you know. But ultimately, if you want to be fair and you want to act as if you're being fair, just go out there and do it. I can't believe in all this time that man didn't get a job when a lot of these other people have gotten jobs, lost them, and, you know, probably going to be moving on to another one somewhere else soon.
Brian Mitchell here with us. So we keep on hearing about Sam Howell being QB1 this year for the Commanders. Do you believe that he'll be starting week one this year?
I don't know if I want to believe it or not. I think me and my co-host, what we say is that he's the only quarterback. He's the only quarterback on the contract on the roster at this point. They still have Carson Wentz. We know he's going to be released. Sam Howell came in last year, one game, and I think he played terrific. But ultimately, you don't know that for sure. Hopefully, Eric comes here and do a lot with him where the next time he comes up for a head coaching job, he'll be able to get it easily. But I think one thing about the quarterback, as a former quarterback, I've always said that quarterback is the most dependent position in all sports. And Sam's going to find that out. Right now, his success goes on if they're going to get an offensive line. Will they make sure they have a line to protect the quarterback? Because if your offensive line is not good, the receivers can't get open, the running backs can't do much. But if you have those things, you have a good offensive line, the rest of the guys can stand up. I believe if they can get a serviceable offensive line, those three receivers and those two running backs, they can do some special things with it.
And I actually like this roster when you look at it from a skill position player's standpoint. You have Terry McLaurin, who's great. Jahad Dotson had a really good rookie year. And then, you know, Brian Robinson Jr., what he was able to overcome. I thought he had a solid season for all things considered.
Yes.
And also with the possibility of Snyder leaving the organization and selling the team, like, I look at the Commanders as kind of an attractive destination.
Well, I think that last thing you said is the most exciting thing everyone is looking for. I think if that happens, it'll change up the way people look at things and they feel about it. But you look at what Terry McLaurin has done over these last 3 or 4 years with all these different quarterbacks. Jahan Johnson rolls in and how well he played. You know, Curtis Samuels is still here. You have Antonio Gibson still with Brian Robinson. So I just think that, you know, they have to really go out there. And then what's strange to me, a team that's had probably one of the most popular offensive lines in history, they don't seem to address the offensive line anymore. If they can address this offensive line like they've done with the defensive line, I think good things happen very quickly, Marshall.
Brian Mitchell here with us. So last year it surprised a lot of people that they made the move for Carson Wentz. Could you see them maybe getting involved with Jimmy G or Derek Carr this offseason?
Well, I think if they hadn't gone with Ryan Fitzpatrick and then went with Carson Wentz and they did not have the success, I would believe that they would. At this point, I'm kind of hesitant to think that they will because I'm looking at the amount of money those guys may cost, you know, and I think where they're trying to still build a team to go out and get a quarterback right now will kind of take them away from getting what they really need to get. I believe you can have a average or above average quarterback with a better offensive line with the skill position that they have and have a lot more success than going to put a lot of money into a quarterback, a $35, $40 million quarterback. And then you can't build an offensive line. I think you won't have as much stress.
With all those things being said, have fans been advocating for this team to try to go get Rodgers?
Whenever Rodgers come up, some people get excited. But I think people see that as that's going to be a last resort. Aaron Rodgers makes, $50 million a year? You know, if you can't build against some of these other guys, I don't know if you get it with him. And then the thing about it, listen, everybody gets old. Tom Brady kind of made us think that everybody's going to play forever. But everybody gets old in football. And Aaron Rodgers last year, I don't think he had a very good season. You know, and right now, if you go get him, how long is he going to be here doing something? And will you be able to have enough people around him? I think that question has to be answered. But I would say, you know, anytime you get a talent like him, you try it, but I just don't see it happening.
Brian Mitchell here with us. Are fans losing patience with Ron Rivera?
A lot of them have already. You know, I think when you come in, the way he came in with all of the luster and, you know, how he's going to change culture and things like that, and they don't see it very soon, they begin to question things. And not having those successful seasons, you know, 7-9 one year, they end up winning the NFC East, and then they come back in 7-10. And now, you know, 8-1 last year, he said it was a major step, but I don't think any fans see that as a major step.
Another thing I want to ask you, right now that they're sitting with the 16th pick in the draft, you know, maybe a quarterback falls, maybe it doesn't. Could you see this team at all moving up in the draft to go get that quarterback?
I don't know if they will move up, but I think they will address somebody in the quarterback position. I think you have to. We've seen, I was just, and when you texted you earlier, I started just looking at the history since 1999 when Dan Snyder took over of this team. And it's not many years where one quarterback can play the whole season. And a lot of times it's been four quarterbacks and three quarterbacks. So you got to have somebody. And I would think that when you have a young guy like a Sam Howell, that's what you're going to do. You want to have somebody with a little experience on the roster and maybe another young quarterback. I think they have to address it some way. But I don't know if they're going to move up or try to go get an experienced veteran that costs a lot of money. But I think that they see a lot in Sam. You know, if he had come out a year prior, he would have probably been drafted in the first round. But he stayed, and he went. A lot of his talent left, and his all of his production went down. But we'll see. I think the thing about it is, every quarterback in this game today, the ones that get the ball out of their hands quickly into the hands of their playmakers, they have a lot of success. Hopefully Sam can do that.
Brian Mitchell, before we let you run, you played for three teams out of the four in the NFC East. Your outlook on the NFC East moving into this year is what?
Well, I still believe the Eagles are the team to beat. Dallas every year, you know, the team I didn't play for, they always seem to be this team with all this talent, but they just can't seem to get over the hump. And I look at with the Giants and then Washington, they're going to have to figure it out. The Giants played terrific last year, and it shows that coaching matters. And I think this year, Ron Rivera is going to have to coach better. You know, he's got to make sure he get better, more out of his players. The rumor about Eric Bieniemy is that Eric holds people accountable. Yeah, a lot of people don't see, they see something wrong with that. I absolutely love it. I grew up in a military household, and if you're going to have to go out there and handle business, you need to know what you're going to do, and people should question you and hold you accountable. So if he can get accountability on this football team, I think that they're a step above the Giants, but they're still behind the Cowboys and Eagles at this point.
Have there been fans at all since the Bieniemy hiring that go, okay, maybe that's the guy that places Rivera?
Yep. Oh, believe me, since they added the assistant head coach, everyone has automatically assumed that he's the next in line. There are people who have gone so far that they say that the new ownership that's going to be possibly coming in, they had a discussion with him, and they put this in order. So you know how it is. When things happen, you start hearing all type of rumors.
That's some theory. Without even knowing who's going to purchase the team yet, they're already making moves to run the team.
That's Washington, though.
I absolutely love it. Brian Mitchell, appreciate the time. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good one.
There you go. Brian Mitchell joining us as we cross the Washington Commanders off the QB carousel. If I look at this, I don't think they're signing Derek Carr. They have not been mentioned. I don't think that they'll land Jimmy G. I almost think Hickey making that move last year, which was so stupid at the time, and trading for Carson Wentz, in a weird way, it kind of prevents them, I think, from making a move this year, unless it's Rodgers. Like, to just bring in Carr, to bring in Jimmy G, at this rate, I don't. Like, yeah, it's competent quarterback play. It'd be much better than anything you ever got. But Jimmy G, even though he's done a lot more than once, he's hurt every other year. Carr, you wonder how high his ceiling is. Like, I'm not saying those are bad quarterbacks, and I guess beggars can't be choosers, right? In terms of you need a quarterback, and look how those fans went delirious when they got Carson Wentz, and we all knew what Carson Wentz was. But I feel like just doing that move a year ago, I don't know if it alters their approach, if that's the right way to say it, but I do think it makes it more difficult this time around, because if you give up, and I get it, right, Carr and Garoppolo are available for free, but if you give a big contract and then you're number one, it's a disaster, it's like, uh-oh, back-to-back years where they made the wrong move at the quarterback position.
I get it, but also, too, we're talking about then your option A being Sam Howell, and another question mark, another uncertainty, so it's like, I get it. If you go Jimmy G, at least probably on the cheaper end compared to Carr. And again, with his injury history, if you like Sam Howell, he's probably going to get on the field anyway. And Derek Carr is to make you a playoff team. So it's...
I actually think it's going to be Sam Howell. And remember after, you know, a few years ago where they were 7-9 and Rivera kind of warned everyone about how don't be surprised if there's regression because we peaked like a year too early or, you know, we did more than what we could expect. And then he kept on talking about building the right roster before we get our guy. I don't know why Rivera went away from that last year. And we asked about it at the Super Bowl, Hickey, but it is still just mystifying to me. If it was one thing coming off his end at Philly, that's different. But seeing it be a disaster two times in Philly and then Indianapolis to preach that patience, and then you pounce on Wentz when the Colts probably would have given him away for a fifth-round pick and like three footballs. They probably would have given that away for Carson Wentz, and you swapped twos and gave up two threes, one that was a conditional that I think did it turn into a two? No, because he got hurt.
He got hurt. Didn't play enough.
That's right. Oh,
played
please.
Enough for the Colts to give him a first-round pick. Didn't play enough to get a second-round pick back.
I'm going to play my small violin for you right now because your team got more than what anyone could imagine for Carson Wentz. But it was almost as if Rivera was preaching something that we all had a problem with, which was patience, patience, patience. But then, like, you made a ridiculous move, I think, just for the sake of the move. I love Rivera. But in terms of the quarterback selection, I would have just respected him more if he just didn't make the move for Carson Wentz instead of feeling like, okay, I got a break from my mold of preaching patience. Because the Wentz move, to me, it was just a gross miscalculation. I know people say a lot of it was Snyder-driven, so I'll give him that out. But he defended that move and stormed off when people started to say that. Remember this year during the season?
Very emotional. I think it was after the Bears game on that Thursday night when they scored like 12 points and lost the game.
Well, early in the week, he put his own foot in his mouth because he said the biggest difference is the quarterback. So I don't know who to believe. I'll blame Dan Snyder.
I'll ask you this.
Death taxes Dan Snyder messing it up.
Does Ron Rivera being on the hot seat change the way they approach this offseason? Brian Mitchell basically said it. Like,
but here's my question.
Fans want him out. Eric Bieniemy's basically already in the wings, if you will.
We don't even know who the owners are going to be. So, like, to me, if a new ownership group comes in, do they want to get the... And we don't know when that's going to happen. Do they maybe want to get their feet wet first and they keep Rivera around because he's a well-respected name in the league? And you know how he handles, obviously, everything from a PR standpoint, because that's one thing Dan Snyder does. He brings the worst PR upon people, and you basically have Rivera speaking all the time. So I kind of think Rivera gets one more year after this year, but the more and more I think about this in terms of who's starting for quarterback next year for them, I really do believe it's going to be Sam Howell. Because I don't think Jimmy G and Carr, they're getting that deal done. I do think Rodgers would be a good fit for them, honestly. And I think it would be a good fit for Rodgers, too, but I don't think that's likely. So the more and more I think about it, I think they're going back to that mold of patience, 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 and we're going to try with Sam Howell here because we drafted him, even though he was, a fifth-round pick? Come on. That's what I think they're going to do. Like, if you had to make a prediction right now, gun to your head, is Sam Howell the starting quarterback week one?
No.
So who is?
Jimmy G.
Wow.
Like, they make a move. Ooh. I think Ron Rivera knows his seat is warm. He's got to do something.
Gotcha. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We'll talk about this 4th and 15 from the XFL. And we'll also end the show out in style with the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, Hickey, you're a football junkie. College football, NFL. I don't really think you're an XFL guy. I don't even know if there's such a thing as an XFL guy, unless if you're Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Did you watch any of the XFL this past weekend?
Zero.
Shocked.
Zero.
I'm really shocked. Not at least a minute. Minute and a half.
No interest.
None.
No interest whatsoever.
I actually flipped it on.
Really?
Yeah. For a little bit. I saw Ben DiNucci throw the ball to Josh Gordon on like some crazy fourth down play. Greg Williams, who's the defensive coordinator, not even head coach for one of these teams, was losing his mind. And then his team forced a fumble at the end, and he was losing his mind again. I thought for about the 5 minutes that I watched it, it was entertaining. Could I see myself sitting down and watching an entire game? No, I cannot. Now, if they want to pay me to work some of those games, or if I get intrigued in the gambling world in some of those games, that could be a different story. But it's always tough for me to get fully invested in football that is not the NFL or college. But I did think something that was interesting was this, and this has been talked about before, this 4th and 15 rule that in the fourth quarter, if you want to onside kick it, instead of, you know, obviously not onside kicking it there, their version of the onside kick is you get one play to convert a 4th and 15. With how it's so unlikely now in the NFL that you recover an onside kick, I would actually not be opposed to the NFL implementing that rule. Maybe you make it for like the final 5 minutes of the game, or you could do it for the entire fourth quarter And if your defense can't stop a fourth and 15, then that's on you. You don't get the ball back. I like that rule.
Yeah, I mean, it's more exciting. More exciting. Allows for more comebacks to be possible instead of relying on sometimes two onside kicks, which is, as you, I mean, one is impossible. Try to get two, forget it. I'm in. That would be a lot of fun.
And the other thing is, I don't know if you'd be on board with this, and I don't want to get rid of the kicker, but their extra points, if you take it from the two-yard line, it's 1 point. This is running a play and going for it. The five-yard line, it's 2 points. The 10-yard line, 3 points. That I'm not a fan of. Because to convert a pass 10 yards out in the NFL, I don't think is that difficult. Like, if you have Patrick Mahomes, I would just go for three every time. And I think most of the times, you know, within reason. Like, if you're down by one, and let's just say it gives you no benefit, or like, whatever, you know, if it doesn't make sense for you, that math is bad that I just gave you, then if it's just simply okay early in the game, you're going back and forth early, I think Mahomes and like Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, right, Herbert, Jalen Hurts, you would just go from the 10-yard line like almost every time and just try to get the 3 points. But I don't like that one. That seems too gimmicky to me.
I kind of like it, actually. Strategy. Anything that adds extra strategy to the game, I am in. Do you go for three? Do you go for two?
Now, you know that would apply for your football team as well.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
I think the Colts would have a tough time trying to get a three-point play.
What was it? Well,
don't have the quarterback.
With the quarterback right now, with Bryce Young, maybe we're talking a little different story.
And you're diminishing your most important player in Jonathan Taylor.
Well, not true. You can throw it out of the backfield. He's got good hands. And you go from the 5 yard line. You can run the ball from the 5 yard line.
I'm just saying. From 10 yards out, most important player kind of becomes irrelevant then. All right. Anyway, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. It proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Winnipeg Jets goalie Connor Hellebuyck. Ugh, beat the Rangers last night. Still on his head on Monday night at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, a 4-1 victory over the Rangers. Hellebuyck recorded 50 saves, one shy of his career high, in an effort that ended the New York Rangers' 10-game point streak. Give a reluctant stock up for me. 2-1, Connor Hellebuyck. Mac McClung. How awesome of a performance was that, by the way? Hot take, Hickey. I thought the slam dunk contest had zero juice and zero buzz. He made the slam dunk contest for one night fun again. I was very, very intrigued and really entertained by Mac McClung.
Getting a lot of credit. Took advantage of the stage I was there. Yeah, it was solid.
Just solid? That was sensational.
Like, I think it's so overblown. Boring. Like, it's just like, okay, he had some.
His three dunks were insane.
The 360 was cool.
It was more than a 360.
Dumbo pump was okay, you know, not terrible.
Okay? Oh!
Yeah.
Horrible take by you. Horrible. He was sensational.
You saw it.
He made you jump off your couch and like, oh! It's unbelievable.
Did you jump off your couch on Saturday night? Were you going up and down? Were you sweating?
I was
from jumping up and down all night long watching Mac McClung throw down dunk after dunk after dunk.
I played hurt on Saturday night. Had a few pops. You know, had to really fight through all that to jump off my couch and be like, yeah, Mac! Mac attack, baby! For a second, I thought I was watching Mac Jones, honestly.
That's why you're so excited about it.
Give a stock up to Matt McClung. Let's hear Anthony Edwards on what he would fix with the NBA.
Probably just all the guys sitting resting. That's the only thing I probably don't like. Just play, man. If you 80% seven, you got to play. I don't like all the sitting missing games and stuff like these people. These people might have enough money to come to one game. You know what I'm saying? And that might be the game they come to, and then you sitting out. You know what I'm saying? So I take pride in trying to play every game because I don't know. It might be one fan that has never seen me play, and I'm trying to play. So I don't. That's the only thing I don't like. Guys just sitting out.
Anthony Edwards should retire tomorrow, Hickey. And he should become the next commissioner of the NBA. Because Adam Silver, I'm sick and tired of everyone calling him this great, great, great commissioner. All he does is cater to the players. Adam Silver is an overrated commissioner. And I love, absolutely love what I heard from Anthony Edwards. Give him a stock up. Did you see the Jonathan Gannon handshake video, by the way, Hickey?
Unfortunately, yes.
That was cringeworthy. Now, I think I've learned you don't destroy a coach based off one moment in introductions, but that was really bad. If I was a player, I'd be like, what the heck is wrong with this guy? What did we hire to be our next head football coach? We'll give a stock down to Jonathan Gannon. Nate McMillan, fired as the head coach of the Hawks 2 years ago, was in the Eastern Conference Finals. I know they made the playoffs last year, but they weren't that great. And this year, they're a game under 500. You knew there was friction with Trae Young, so it's not surprising. So give him a stock down. And by the way, I'm going to give a stock down to Ime Udoka. Jacque Vaughn was supposed to be the next coach of the Nets. Then that didn't happen. Then the next thing you know, KD and Kyrie get traded. Hey, Udoka may or may not have done it to himself. We don't really know what actually happened in that whole situation. But now it looks like he doesn't have a place that he thought he could definitely maybe find a way next year. And who would even know if he would want to go there since Kyrie and KD aren't there? So stock down to Ime Udoka. And who the heck knows when he'll return, if he ever does, as a coach of the NBA. All right, good show today. Big thanks to Mike Westhoff, Joe Beningo, and also Brian Mitchell, Hot Ticket Key as well, and each and every one of you on the phones, call and listen and tweet. And we out. Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Peace!
What if you could make fresh, delicious meals at home without the stress of planning, prepping, or cleaning up? Introducing Tavala. Tavala is a first-of-its-kind meal service that makes eating well effortless. By combining a countertop smart oven with delivered meals, just scan a QR code to cook dinner. First, choose from a variety of chef-crafted meals delivered weekly to your door. When you're ready to eat, just do 1 minute of easy prep. Next, scan your meal's QR code with the Tavala Smart Oven, while the oven automatically switches between modes and temperatures for the perfect cook. Just sit back and relax. Your food's ready in 25 minutes or less. No shopping, no chopping, no cleanup. Simplify mealtime today with Tavala. Go to Tavala.com now to save $150 on a Tavala Smart Oven when you agree to order meals 6 times. That's TOVALA.com. Promo applied automatically at checkout. Tavala. Eat well effortlessly. Tavala.com.